a week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin Tuesday's show with African boxing. Ghana's former featherweight and super featherweight world champion, Azuma Nelson, is widely considered one of the greatest African boxers of all time. One of Azuma's big honors, induction into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2004. Another accolade came when a 10,000-seat multi-use stadium in Accra was renamed the Azuma Nelson Sports Complex. In this hard-hitting feature from Accra, Yao Afusularbi reports Azuma's son is hoping to follow his father's star-studded footsteps in the boxing ring. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Now, Azuma Nelson's legacy transcends the shores of Ghana. Years after hanging his gloves, he continues to dominate conversations around boxing in the country and beyond, and that's what champions are made of. For rock stars like Azuma Nelson, they are made of more. The legacy has not died down, and in the past few years, it is even closer to home thanks to his 23-year-old son, Dalvin Azuma Nelson Jr., who is taking after his father. He has his father's blood through and through, exhibiting it with ease and anchoring an admirable skill that excites. Pugilistic to the core, he wedges away from all the enviable feats his father recorded and is seeking to build his own charm and trademark.
I can't even picture my mind that back because it's been long. It's probably one of the first things I remember doing with my dad, like jab, right? So probably about 3 years, I just started, you know, learning the arts bit by bit. And then maybe got quite serious when I got to GHS. That was kind of a phase in my life where it was kind of like, can I really do this or am I just doing it for fun or what is it really? And we went to a competition in Australia. And then when we were there, like, during the competition, they were like, they came to my corner and they were like, Charlie, like, take it easy because, you know, like, yeah, too for the guy. So, yeah, just relax. And, well, from there, I kind of started to believe in myself a little bit.
Despite walking into the sports that made his father famous, he is now taking baby steps and not quite arrived yet at his father's level. The love for boxing was harnessed at a very young age and has since been an obsession. Dalvin feeds off a constant reminder to be greater than his father, and this has come with a special skill toolkit that has everything from precise brawls to body shots that dissipates even the toughest opponent. The traits, he says, are similar but of different shades.
I believe I'm quite a bit of everything. I can brawl a bit, I can box a bit, I can move a bit. I'll say I've got a good right hand. I mean, when it lands well, you feel it. You know it's landed. And I'm good at the body too. My body shots, I mean, yeah. When it touches you, you cringe. I'm a student of the game, you see, yeah. So I like to learn new stuff. So I'm picking stuff here from this boxer, trying to add it to mine, trying to perfect it. Hard training, easy battle, no pain, no gain.
Daniel Latekwe Late has been coaching Dalvin for years and tells me it is not too hard to tell he is headed for greatness.
The father was the one who started it. The time I can see him, I think he's the age of around 10 or 11. And the father started to bring him to me to try to steady him what he's doing. I know there is something in him I have to put in him. That's why the father believed me up to date.
There have been moments where Dalvin feels like giving up. But for an amateur who is even yet to turn fully professional, he has learned the rudiment to know that passion is the most important shield in any sport.
Boxing has kind of given me some kind of focus, some kind of mentality. I really do feel the pressure. But I believe it's the pressure and the anxiety that keeps me going.
Solid as a rock, Dalvin wields the crown that was once heavy to emulate, but now giving way to the determination and pursuit of a young man not content with just a few jabs.
It's been good. I mean, I owe it all to him. My mark is to be better than my dad, or at least be as good as he was, because he was a very good boxer. And that would have to depend on my hard work and my conviction to the sport, and proving to others that I'm not just following in my dad's footsteps, but I'm also trying to create my own footsteps.
On the wings of an eagle, he knows that one day, when the glory comes, it will definitely be his. Dalvin Azuma Nelson Jr. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra. Over to you in Washington, Sunny.
Thanks, Yao. Elsewhere in boxing, multiple reports say the 8-round exhibition fight next month between former world champions Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. has been postponed. The bout had been scheduled for September 12th in Carson, California, just south of Los Angeles. The new date for the Tyson-Jones pay-per-view event is tentatively November 28th. Undefeated Nigerian heavyweight Efe Ajagba has signed a long-term promotional agreement with Top Rank Boxing. The 26-year-old Ajagba turned professional in 2017, and he's won his first 13 prize fights, 11 by knockout. 2 years ago, Ajagba put his name in the record books for the fastest victory in boxing history. His American opponent, Curtis Harper, was disqualified for leaving the ring 1 second after the opening bell in a protest over pay. Ajagba has also enlisted the services of manager James Prince and head trainer Kay Karoma. Ajagba says, and I quote, "I made this decision to become a better boxer and advance my career. When I return to the ring soon, you will see a new Efe Ajagba. Kay Karoma and I are working on my head movement and defense as I seek to become a more well-rounded fighter." Meanwhile, Top Rank's 88-year-old chairman Bob Arum says, and I quote, "Efe Ajagba is one of the most gifted young heavyweights I've seen in quite some time. He has immense physical tools and a great work ethic. I have the utmost confidence that we're looking at a future heavyweight champion." And I can confidently say Bob Arum has looked at a few heavyweight champions during his lengthy career in boxing. Among the former world heavyweight champions, he has promoted Muhammad Ali, Evander Holyfield, and George Foreman. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. A documentary on Liverpool and Senegal football star Sadio Mane was released earlier this year. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature by VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The documentary called Sadio Mane, Made in Senegal, chronicles the life of the Liverpool forward, his memories of growing up in the small village of Bambali, and the loss of his father at 7 years old. Mane spoke to Reuters News from his home near Liverpool, England, on the day of the premiere, and explained how his childhood inspired him to always give back to his home village.
It has been always something I thought about since when I was young. My mind wanted to do something, and for my village, because I go there and I grew up there. I know all the reality of my society, especially my family. And it's a really, really small village. I know the condition of life not optional, which is really sad for not Bambali, for all around the village, because they're struggling the same problem as the school as well. Some don't know where to study, and has a union, I think, and today has a role model. I think it's really important to do something for those people who really need it, and my family as well.
Mane has been a steady benefactor in his village and has provided funding toward the construction of hospitals, schools, and mosques in Senegal. Most recently, he donated the equivalent of $50,000 to help his country during the coronavirus pandemic.
It's a really, really, really tough moment for not Senegal, but for all the world. And I think which is really important to stick together and try to do the best and fight against this sickness that is really, really bad. I think if everybody tries to do, not saying, but try to do something which is can help the country or the world, I think, and to make what is the best for people.
Mane says his desire to provide for his community began at a very young age, as did his desire to play football. And he says in the beginning, his family needed some convincing.
No one thought I would become a football player, and especially my mom. My mom never, ever dreamed, and she never thought in her life I can become a football player, because for her, it has something... She prefers something better than football. For me, I just waste my time. And I can say from that, I never doubt, and it was my dream is to, especially to become a football player for sure.
Mane is now one of the best players in the sport and plays for the best team in the Premier League.
It has been an unbelievable season for me and my teammate, and just incredible.
Mane says he is staying connected to the game of football and is never far from the pitch.
You know, someone like me or someone else, if I said, oh, they are sacrificed everything for football, I think should be normal, because I never try to get the title or try to put tiredness in the head or just get lazy. Which is, I should give everything possible to football, which is I have to possibly be always fit and to give all necessary things to be fit, like training hard, sleep on time, and be as professional as possible. It's what I'm trying to do every single time.
Mane says his dream is to win the Africa Cup with his national team and become the first African player since George Weah to win the Ballon d'Or. And that is all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African club football, teams from Egypt and Morocco dominate the semifinals of the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup, the continent's two top tournaments. In the Champions League, the semifinals are all Egyptian-Moroccan. Let's take a look at the matchups. Wydad Casablanca of Morocco will host Al Ahly of Egypt in a first-leg match September 25th. And Raja Casablanca of Morocco is at home against Zamalek of Egypt, also on September 25th. The return leg matches will be played the following weekend in Cairo, Egypt. In the Confederation Cup semifinals next month, Pyramids of Egypt will play Heroya of Guinea, and in an all-Moroccan matchup, RS Berkane will meet Hassania Agadir. Mohamed El Badri is the chief executive officer of Corastats, a company that provides performance and analysis data to Egyptian clubs. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, he said Egyptian teams have a very proud pedigree in continental competition.
My reaction about having two Egyptian clubs in the semifinals of the CAF Champions League, actually Egypt also has another team in the Confederation Cup in the semifinal. Of course, I'm so proud of that. It's a good thing for the Egyptian football in general, and it gives a really strong message about how strong the Egyptian league is in comparison to African leagues. I think it's a good thing that we have, actually, this is something expected. Egypt in the last century, the first and the second century clubs are from Egypt, Ahly and Zamalek. And also, each year, at least one Egyptian club is either in the final or in the semifinals. So this is something expected and we're all very proud of.
The Egyptian clubs Al Ahly and Zamalek are in the CAF Champions League, while Pyramids are in the CAF Confederation Cup. They will face fellow North African clubs from Morocco. What are the chances of the Egyptian clubs? And are we likely to watch an all-Egypt finals in the CAF Champions League?
I think it's a 50-50 chance for either the final will be fully Moroccans or fully Egyptians. And I also think that what will make this result comes in which of these teams will be ready physically after the COVID-19 suspension for most of the leagues. I think yes, the Egyptian can be there in the finals, and we might be seeing a final from Ahly and Zamalek, and that will be a very lively one. Actually, the final game, if it's both Moroccan, if it's both Egyptian, it will be a rivalry contest because both of the teams are the top of their countries. So it is really going to be a hard one, to be honest. However, I expect one Egyptian versus one Moroccan. I don't expect both will qualify from the same country.
What are the feelings of supporters of the clubs as the matches will be played behind closed doors?
To answer this question, in Egypt, it's not really a big deal. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Egyptian football has been being played without supporters for 2 years now. So it's something going to be for Egyptian players. They are used to play without supporters, and the supporters are behind closed doors. Maybe it's going to affect the Moroccan side more because they use crowd and fans in the stadiums. But this is not something for the Egyptian players that would make a problem. They're used to play without any crowds or fans in the stadium for so long now.
That's Mohamed El Badri, an African football analyst and the chief executive officer of Corastats. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cairo, Egypt.
This is Mohamed El Badri. I am the co-founder and CEO of Corastats, a data service company that is working with many of the clubs in Egypt, providing them with performance analysis data about their teams and opponents. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thanks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Yo, yo, yo! Hello, sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. In National Basketball Association action Monday, the Los Angeles Lakers pulled out a thrilling three-point victory against the Denver Nuggets in Orlando, Florida. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Kyle Kuzma sank a three-point basket with less than a second remaining, giving the Lakers a 124-121 win over the Nuggets.
It's a play that we kind of ran and practiced a few times prior to the restart, and coach had faith in me and just called my number, and I paid off.
It was a tight game for four quarters. The largest lead of the night was only 7 points. The Lakers, who've already clinched the top seed in the West, snapped a three-game losing skid. LeBron James scored 29 points, Anthony Davis 27, and Kuzma finished with 25. PJ Dozier led Denver with 18 points, but missed a critical free throw in the closing seconds. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Also in Orlando, the Phoenix Suns scored a big win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Suns are 6-0 at Lake Buena Vista following a convincing 128-101 thumping of the Thunder. Devin Booker dropped in 35 points.
We're taking it one game at a time. That's been our mindset since we got here. We're sticking with that. So it's been a competitive environment, focused environment since we got down here. So we're trying to maintain that, keep that going, and finish this thing out strong.
And Phoenix center DeAndre Ayton finished with 10 points and 6 rebounds in just over 17 minutes. Ayton was forced to sit out the first quarter after missing his coronavirus test on Sunday. He tested negative on Monday and helped the Suns dominate after they carried a 37-23 deficit into the second quarter. Phoenix was 26-39 when the season was halted by the coronavirus pandemic. The Suns now find themselves within 1.5 games of a Western Conference playoff berth. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In more NBA action Monday, the Miami Heat defeated the Indiana Pacers by 22 points, as we hear now from the AP's Wayne Rustin.
The Heat beat the Pacers 114-92 to go 3-0 in the season with a final matchup on Friday. Miami did it with defense, but seven players scored in double digits as well. Jimmy Butler led the way with a game-high 19 points and 11 rebounds for his 11th double-double of the season.
I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. It was a great team win, man. I'm happy we got back on track.
Off the Heat bench, Derrick Jones had 18.
Everybody had their imprint on the game, man. Does everybody play hard and leave it all out on the floor?
Tyler Hero had 17, including three threes. Victor Oladipo led Indiana with 14 points. The Heat 10-1 when holding opponents under 100 points. Wayne Rustin, Miami.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
My name is Jesha Cheptegei of Uganda. A world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Serious realities indeed, Joshua. That's Joshua Cheptegei, Uganda's world champion runner. Organizers of next month's Diamond League meet in Brussels, Belgium, say Sifan Hassan, the reigning women's world champion at both 1,500 meters and 10,000 meters, will attempt to break the one-hour world record. The 27-year-old Hassan was born in Ethiopia, but she moved to the Netherlands as a teenager and competes for the Netherlands in international competition. She'll have to cover more than 18.5 kilometers within 60 minutes to break the record set in 2008 by Ethiopia's Dire Tune. The Brussels meet is scheduled for September 4th. Hassan says, and I quote, "This is a strange and difficult season, but I have been able to continue my training as well as I could, and I feel fit and healthy." There are very few occasions to compete these days, and I am delighted with the invitation to attack the one-hour record. And that wraps up the August 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.